The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith.
And we want to put in the work. Is that okay if y'all spend some time with us and do that? I believe if we pay the price on the backside, God will do it on the front side. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 13. Notice I left out chapter number. The team has been getting on me about chapter number, and so I've left that out. 2 Kings chapter, I'm so tempted to say number, chapter 13. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. 2 Kings chapter 13. And as always, before I get started, I just want to welcome every single person watching online from all across the country. Every single week you tune in. And it is our honor to have you here at City Place Church. If you've been a part of our service, whether it's in here, in Orlando, or online, we have been called to build dreams, ignite faith, and establish you as the leader that God's called you to be so that you can win the loss for the kingdom of God. And it is, again, our privilege and our honor to welcome you from wherever you are to where Jesus lives in Orlando, Florida. City Place Church, can you welcome everyone watching this morning online? Y'all know Jesus lives here. Y'all know he visits every place else. That's what I tell all my friends. I'm like, who are in North Carolina, I was like, he visits on the weekend. But he lives here throughout the year. Come on, somebody. 2 Kings chapter 13 says this. Now Elisha had been suffering from an illness from which he had died. Joash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows, and he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans and Apek. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elijah told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram completely and destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Verse 20. Elisha died and was buried. Now, Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet. This morning, my focus is playlist. Every song has something that it can say to you. But focused-wise, I'd like to focus on this topic, and then I'm going to let you hear my song. How far will you go? Check this out.
I've been staring at the edge of the water long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water, no matter how hard I try. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know where I cannot go, where I long to be. See the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me, and no one knows. No telling how far I'll go. I know everybody on this island seems so happy on this island. Everything is by design. I know everybody on this island has a role on this island. So maybe I can roll with mine. can lead with pride. I can make us strong. I'll be satisfied if I play along. But the voice inside sings a different song. What is wrong with me? See the light as it shines on the sea. It's blinding, but no one knows how deep it goes. And it seems like it's calling out to me, so come find me and let me know. What's beyond that line? Will I cross that line? The line with the side of the sea.
Look at the person beside you and say, how far will you go? So in this song, because I have children, most of the songs inside of my iPad, iPod, iPhone, whatever, is all kids' songs. And so I literally have listened to this song over and over again, so much so that it has almost become a worship song. Seriously, I was driving to church today, and I was like, if I go over river and the water and behind me, someday I'll know how far I'll go. No lie. And then I had to kick myself like, fool, that's from a movie. But I was listening to this song, like I said, over and over and over again. And I realized that the writer of this song was expressing words from their heart because they had been standing on the edge, looking at all of the possibilities of life, looking at everything that was sitting out there, but something kept bringing them back to the brink and not going across the line. They could see the possibilities, they could see the opportunities, but something kept them just going around in circles. They would get as far as they could go, and then they would stop, and then they would wish that they could be in the water, they could see it. And the young lady says, when she was singing the song, she says, everyone on the island has a role, and they're comfortable with where they are, but I'm trying to figure out if I can go to where I see. I know that they have their role, maybe I'll just do mine as well. But then she goes back again and she says, but I can see out on the horizon, the sun shining on the sea, and I'm wondering if it's calling me, because the voice inside is telling me how far I can go. And so this morning, I'd like to preach from the Disney song, chapter number, How Far I'll Go. Because I was challenged. Now, if I don't know, I grew up on all sorts of movies like Aladdin and all sorts of those sorts of movies. But I'm listening to this song. And it's almost as if she's singing part of my life, because I'm very blessed and my life has been very blessed. But even though my life is very blessed, I still wake up every morning going, there has to be more. Anybody else? I can be at the very top of the mountain and there's still more. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, proves that there's always more, that you can never sit back on your glorious hinder parts and feel like you have arrived. In life, there is something inside of you still driving you that says that there's more. So this morning, my assignment is to challenge us to not get comfortable while we're going through something or succeeding big, because you never know how far you'll go. So I read you a text earlier. That was a rather strange text to try to tie to a Disney movie. And it says that Elisha, who was a prophet of God, was about to die. While he was about to die, a king comes to him and says, there's some men who's trying to come, and they're trying to kill us, my father. And he says, go get a bow, go get some arrows. On his deathbed, says that the king brings the bow and the arrows, and Elisha, because he walked in the power of God, laid his hand on his hand. He said, here's what I want you to do. shoot the arrow out the window. He shot the arrow out the window. He says, now God's going to give you victory. He says, thank you. And he says, oh, one more thing. He says, now grab the arrows. Okay, grab the arrows. So the Bible says he grabbed the arrows. And he said to the king, he said, now strike the ground. And the king heard everything that Elisha said. One, two, three. I did what you asked me to do. But the story says that Elisha got mad and said, you didn't go far enough. If you would have gone far enough, God would eliminate it completely. Now God is only going to do it three times. I'm not even going to preach on that part. But I'm just showing you, you can go further. It ties into the movie. Thanks, Lord. So it says, strikes, he gets mad. It says that Elisha dies. They put him in the tomb. As was custom in the day, the people of Israel were holding a burial ceremony for someone that they loved. But during that same time, some Moabite raiders were coming. And out of fear, they threw the person into the tomb of Elisha. Throw him into the tomb. Get out of here. And the man's like, yo, don't leave me. This morning, I'd like to take just a couple of moments to take you on a journey. And I'm going to end back up with the man. Hello? Don't leave me. Can I just give you just a few things from the song of the Blessed Book of Disney? Amen. Here's the first thing that I want you to realize is that your life has a soundtrack. Every peak, every low note, every rhythm makes up a part of who you are. You cannot cancel out the valleys and say, I don't want that. You cannot live on the high and not live in the valley. Every moment of your journey is writing a song. In fact, Psalms 45 says, my heart is overflowing with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king, capital K. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue is the pen of someone anticipating the story and the journey. Are you okay? So here's just a couple of things that I was able to identify inside of this young lady singing what is now to me a classic that will be timeless forever. The first thing is how far you go is determined by how you follow and how you serve. She says, I know everybody on this island has a role, so maybe I can roll with mine. But the story that I read to you in the gospel, or not in the gospel, but in the book of the Bible, in Kings, talks about a man named Elisha. Elisha's story actually begins in 1 Kings chapter 19, where we find that Elijah, who had been a prophet, was tired, and he told God, he said, God, I'm out here doing it all by myself. You ain't sending me nobody. And God says, there'll be a guy along your way. His name is Elisha. He's going to help. So in verse 19:20, it says that Elijah is walking by Elisha while he's working out in the field. And he says that he has 12 yoke of oxen, and he is guiding a yoke of oxen himself. And it says that he's out plowing in the field, doing his daily routine, going through life. It seems like it's his normal. I'm assuming that it's not getting any better than what he's doing. He's out, he's serving, and it says that Elijah comes by and throws his mantle on him, and Elisha looks and says, hey, wherever you're going, I'm going. Elijah looks at him and says, what did I do to you? And he says, let me go back home, let me say goodbye to my mom and my dad, and I'm going to follow you. But the story goes on and says that he actually looks at his oxen, and it says that he kills the oxen and all of the equipment he was using because he wanted to see how far he can go. So the first thing is, in order for us to determine how far we'll go, we have to follow and we have to be able to serve. Because in verse 21, it says, so Elijah left him, went back, He took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, gave it to the people, they ate, and he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. To tie this into our relationship with God, when God drops something on you that says that I've called you to do greater than, when God puts something on the inside of you that says where I am right now is not good enough, the first assignment you and I have to determine how far we go is to follow God and begin to serve him. The analogy is right there in the story. He says, whoa, something just happened that caused me to not want to just plow every single day. And he says, wherever you go, I'm going. And he begins to follow Elijah, and he serves Elijah. So to determine how far you and I will go, the first foundational key is that you and I have to follow God, but then we also have to serve him. Are you with me? So he then continues on his journey, and he's hanging out with Elijah. Now, you got to know Elijah. Elijah was a bad dude. Elijah was a prophet that literally spoke to a whole kingdom and said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to be rain, because God says so. Then, because it wasn't raining, he had to eat. God said, just for you, I'm sending ravens. Ravens, a carnivore type animal that just scavenges. He sends ravens to bring him food. But then that's not all. He was so bad in his relationship with God that there were prophets of Baal, 400 of them, that thought that their God was bigger and badder than Elijah's God. So in his full-fledged confidence, he goes, yo, let's call a party. He says, bring all your cattle, put them on the altar, and you call out to your God and let the fire fall. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out to my God. In fact, bring some water. Pour it on the cattle. And then he said, I tell you what else. Pour a little bit more on the cattle. And he said, you go. Nothing happened. And then he started mocking them like, is your God sleeping? Is he not on duty today? And then he said, watch my God. Fire, fall down. Fire, fall down. That's a worship song. On us, we pray. Whoosh, consumed it all. And then he walked off like a bad dude. Like, what you say now? But then he got tired. Says Jezebel, said, I saw what you did. By this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. So he fled. And this is where he has a conversation with God. And God says, I'm going to send you Elisha. So the story continues on. Take the journey where you get into 2 Kings. And it says that Elijah is about to be taken up to heaven. And Elijah says to Elisha, he says, I'm going to Bethel. Stay here. And Elisha looks at him and says, I am not staying here. I was by the edge of the water earlier with my yoke of oxen. I've been flowing with you, and I've been watching you. I'm not going anywhere. So it says that he keeps going because he's trying to see how far he can go. So he goes, and then they get to Jordan or Jericho, and he says, I've got to go to Jericho. He says, Elisha, stay here. He says, nah, man. Where you're going, I've never been. I'm trying to see how far I can go. So he goes. And then finally they get to the last place. And Elijah looks at him and says, okay, what can I do for you? And he says, I've seen how far you can go. But I'm wondering how far I can go. He says, give me a double portion of everything that's on you, because I'm curious to see how far I can go. So the first thing is you got to determine how you're going to follow and you're going to serve. Stay here. No. Stay here. No. I'm going with you. Second thing is how far you go is determined by how clearly you hear. I can lead with pride. I can make us strong, she says in the song. I'll be satisfied if I play along, but the voice inside of me is singing a different song. I struggle with being average, but the voice inside of me is telling me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The voice inside of me is telling me I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, yet everything around me is telling me that at the edge is as far as I'll go. Have you ever been in a place where you want to go, but you don't want to take the risk? How far you will go is determined on how clearly you hear. Look at what Isaiah chapter 30, 21 says this. It says, now you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, whether you go to the left or the right. Have you ever been in that middle place and you're trying to decide? I love the fact that whether I go to the left or the right, I can hear him clearly. So sometimes, needing to pray and fast over the paint color of your room, just pick the blue. Trying to decide whether you want a Honda Accord or a Mazda, just pick whichever one you want. It's okay. He wants you to have the new car. Why y'all laughing? It's practical. Because we would spend a ton of time going, Lord Jesus, we see this house. The house is everything we want, but it was a foreclosure. It's right in front of us. God, what are you going to do? And he's like, buy the house. It's everything you want. Okay, throw the trash away and paint the wall. Your list was you wanted this, 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 this. You didn't tell me you wanted a blue room and green carpet and you wanted white chandelier. No, you wanted a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in this neighborhood. I gave that to you. What are you still praying for? Whether you go to the left or the right, I'm there. You made a good decision. I love the car that you bought. I'm blessing the car that you're driving. I love the job that you work at. Congratulations. Heaven is celebrating you. Whether you go to the left or the right, I'll lead you. I'll guide you. It's based on how good we hear. If you and I can trust that the decisions that we make are from God, then we're going to win. The reason why is because the first step I took was to follow him and serve him. So in order to follow him, stay here. No, I'm going with you. I know how this man works. I've been following you the whole time. You don't mess around. You do miracles. I've been watching. I'm listening to you. Clearly. So if you say, go, I'm going. I'm not thinking about it. If you say you heal me, I'm healed. So how far I go is determined by how I hear. I don't know if you're taking notes or if you're going to watch this or listen to this on the City Place Church audio podcast. Last week, I forgot to mention that. Third thing, how far you go is determined by the words you declare. Even in the young girl's struggle when writing the song, she says, if the wind and my sail on the sea stays behind me, I almost want to sing it. One day I know how far I'll go. She said, now if the wind keeps pushing me, I'm going far. I'm just declaring out my mouth, I'm going far. You can see my whole journey. I'm struggling with whether I'm going to stay on the edge. I keep coming back to the edge. I keep looking at the edge. But the wind going to push me. And I know how far I'm going to go. I'm excited about this journey. Because even if it just pushes me a few inches from the shoreline, I'm farther than where I was. Y'all all right? Here's what Luke 6:45 says. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's go back to Elisha. What can I do for you? Give me double portion of what's on you. Here it comes now. When I'm taken up, if you keep your eyes on me, you'll have everything that's on me. Listen to what I'm telling you. Hear this clearly. That's what he's telling them. Got to be able to hear clearly. If you watch me, when I'm taking up, you have everything. So the Bible says that in the story, he says that the wind starts coming and Elijah started taking up and he's like, my father, I got my eye on you. And it says that the mantle falls and Elisha picks it up. And then he looks and he says, I wonder if what I asked for happened. So it says that he goes to the Jordan River and he says, I've seen him do this one time before. I'm going to try it. And it says that he takes the mantle and he slams it down on the water and it separates just like it did for Elisha. So everything that he had been serving and watching, when the man of God said, hear me clearly, he was listening. He was able to declare, I want double what's on you. Then he not only declared, but he began to prepare. Let me see if what's on me is active. And it separates. To determine how far we'll go, we also have to make sure that our level of preparation matches it. He didn't delay. I got it. He said, let me put it into practice right now. So how far you go is going to be based on the level of your preparation. Isaiah 54, 1 through 4 says this. Shout for joy, O barren one, she who has not given birth. Break forth into joyful singing and rejoice. She who has not gone into labor with child, for the spiritual sons of the desolate will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. He says this, enlarge the site of your tent to make room for more children. Stretch out your curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare them. Don't limit them. Don't stop. Go as far as you can go. Lengthen your tents. Make your peg stakes firm in the ground, for you will spread out to the right, to the left. Your descendants further than you will take possession of nations and inhabit deserted cities. Do not fear, for you will not be put to shame. You will not be humiliated. You will not be disgraced if you determine that you want to go far and you put the preparation behind where you want to go. Preparation has to be at an intense level to determine how far you're going to go. Are you with me? So, Elisha slams down. Whoosh, whoosh. It separates. But he doesn't stop there. It says that he runs to the Shunammite woman. He handles her, gives her a miracle. Her son gets sick, heals him. Elisha goes to another spot. A woman says, hey, I'm struggling. He says, what do you have in your house? She says, a little jar of oil. He says, go get it. It won't run out. He goes to another place. Sir, we lost our axe head. All right. Drop the little tree branch. The axe head comes back. Sir, the water is killing everybody. Give me a little salt. He drops a little salt. The whole water turns where they can drink it. Miracle after miracle. By the time Elisha died, he's done double the miracles than what Elijah did. Which now brings me to the end of my story. And worship team, you can come back up. We find at the end of my story, in 2 Kings, that Elisha is dying. And a king comes to him, says, help me out. Elijah pulled the bow back, shoot the arrow. And then he tells him, he says, now listen, I want you to strike the ground three times. Or I want you to strike the ground. The guy strikes the ground three times. And out of frustration, he says, if you would have gone further, your victory would have been greater. If you would have gone further, your victory would have been greater. I realized as I was reading this text that this was not just a prophetic unction. This was from somebody who did not stop when he had the opportunity. there was something on the inside of Elisha that said, son, there was so much more, but you were waiting for me to give you the specific instruction on what to do. Sometimes you and I cannot wait for the specific instruction to go the extra mile. Sometimes we don't need God to say, stay an extra 5 minutes at work. Y'all all right? Sometimes we don't need God to say, show love to your neighbor who you lived beside for 10 years and you don't know. Y'all all right? Sometimes you go the extra mile because you realize that you have committed yourself to seeing how far you'll go. And he looks at him, he says, yo, you've been doing the same thing. You keep stopping shy of all of your potential. If you would have struck it 2 more times, you would have won. 3 more times, you would have won. You don't even realize how far you could have gone. Here's the final thing. How far you go is determined by the mark you leave. The girl says, but no one knows how deep it goes. And it seems like it's calling out to me, so come find me and let me know what's beyond the line. Will I cross that line? The question you have to ask yourself today is, will you cross the line to see how far you'll go? I would argue that regardless of the journey that you're on right now, that you could go further. Regardless of the status of your life, I would argue that there's more. Whether you're in the highest of high or you're in the lowest of notes in writing your story and your song, I would argue that there's still so much further you can go. So you should have struck it 5 times and you would have won victory. The end of the chapter says that Elisha dies. And it says that the funeral procession is coming. Out of fear of the raiders, it says that they throw the man or the person's body into Elisha's tomb. And while they throw him in the tomb, the body hits his bones and he wakes up. And he stood up and he's like, yo, how did I get here? Where y'all going? Don't leave me. Here's what's amazing to me is you and I really won't know how far we go until we can determine the mark we leave. Elisha's mark was still going when he was dead. The dead body went on his body when he was dead. And the impact from day number one of following and serving God to hearing clearly, to his declaration, to his preparation, pow, this thing works. To when he's dead, throw the body into the grave. Oh. You mean to tell me that you can go even further when you're not even here? How far can you go? We still celebrate Dr. King. We celebrate him every single year because of the sacrifice he paid. We celebrate the miracle-working power of Jesus Christ, and he died and rose over 2,000 years ago. And he has power today. I wonder how far you and I can go. At the end of your life, will someone be able to say, but they still impacted me? I want to tell you a quick story. I was, for lack of a better term, as a high schooler, I was a kid heading in the wrong direction. I to this day, I still own the record for demerits. Y'all know what demerits are? At a Christian school, Riverdale Baptist Christian School, because I was heading in a wrong direction. It was generational. All on my father's side was people getting dropped out of school, premarital issues, drug addiction, murder. And I wasn't headed there, but my attitude was going there because I was starting to not enjoy God. So I began to act out in high school. It's like, whatever it is. So they kicked me out of school. I had to beg to go to another Christian school because my mom was just like, little boy, you're going to have Jesus one way or another. She was like, I am sacrificing and you done got yourself kicked out of the school. You're going to change that behavior. When they kicked me out of school, I was so nonchalant. I was like, it is what it is. It is what it is. And she's crying because she's paying all of her hard-earned money. And I was like, it is what it is. Go take me to the next spot. So I get to the next spot. And I have to do the little, do you want to be here? Will you serve Jesus? And I was like nonchalant. I was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yo, yes, I do. I love God. I have a great relationship with Jesus. But I was not close to God. I'd grown up in church. And sitting in the meeting was this man. I think we have a photo of him. Mr. Lloyd Sampson. Mr. Sampson was a Caucasian man. Can you see it? It means nothing. But I want you to see what he did. He looks up at me and he says, hey, son. This is what he said. He says, hey, son, what you did at the other school, you're not going to do here. And I was like, yeah, whatever. He goes, no, son, you're not going to. He says, in fact, what you're going to do is you're going to stick with me. And he says, and I'm not going to let you get out of place. So I was like, whatever. The first week, I got in a fight. And he literally said, sit down. You can't do that today because I would have called the police. You know what I'm saying? I would have had the number in my Rolodex. Notice that's old. And he says, I told you that you're not going to do that here. And he just began to speak life. He says, son, let me tell you something. There's something special about you. There's something that God wants to do in you. And the enemy's coming after you. And he goes, this is what he says. And I'm not going to let it happen. So he started inviting me over to his house. I'd go after school. He'd let me hang out with his kids. And he just, every time I, come here, sit. And I'm a high schooler. I told you. I am going to stay with you. Well, about 10 years ago, a little bit longer. Actually, it's about 15 now. Mr. Sampson was diagnosed with ALS, passed away. I just so happened to be able to go back at the perfect time to be able to celebrate. And as I was listening to all of the stories, I realized that Mr. Sampson had been doing that to everybody. But I can honestly tell you today that people compliment me and all that sort of stuff as being a person of integrity. But Mr. Sampson was the one who left his mark. Because the person you see today, yes, my mom and dad did a great job, but the person you see today is a product of Lloyd Sampson, who is in heaven. But if you listen to me talk, if you will talk to me over a period of time, you will hear me mention his name at least once. Because he has impacted me to the person I am today. And so the undertones of who we are and as City Place Church and who I am as a dad and a husband to my wife is because Mr. Sampson didn't let me get away with nothing. And so when I was dying, I got thrown into Mr. Sampson's office. And he brought me back to life. And now when I'm telling people about the impact that Jesus had on me, I can say, there was a Caucasian man who pulled a young African-American boy who was clearly headed away from God, and he said, I'm not going to let that happen. You follow me. And he would take me all sorts of places. And so this morning you're in this room, and you might be away from God. I have no clue. But this morning, if I could, I'd like to throw you on life. Because Jesus Christ is living. And I just want to throw you back.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.